We believe that alcoholism is a disease and that Alcoholics Anonymous is one solution to that disease. I'm here to bring you the voices of its members. Everyone that comes on the show, including myself, is an active member and has found recovery in the rooms of AA. As you listen, please take what works for you and leave the rest.
Hi, my name is Lynn, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 26, 2020. I'm going to tell you a little bit of my backstory. When I came into AA and I heard other people's stories, I heard somebody say one time, "How long have I really been an alcoholic?" And that kind of stuck with me. And that's kind of where I'm going to go today with my story. How long have I really been an alcoholic? When did I cross the line? When did I truly, truly cross the line? I'll tell you my backstory, a little bit of, you know, my growing up. Grew up in a Christian home, two brothers and a sister. We spent most of our weekends at church. I was very involved. Our whole family was very involved in church. We spent weekends at church, whether it be junior high programs, high school programs, whatever it was, church camps, Sunday night church. We were kind of like Leave It to Beaver family. And we just, I had a great upbringing. Parents were very supportive in everything that we did. My dad's dad was an alcoholic and my mom's dad was an alcoholic. My parents did not drink. A glass of wine here and there at, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever it happened to be. But I drank a little bit in high school, probably a little more than I should have. I was on sports, but all the kids drank, so that's what I did. Did I drink alcoholically then? A few times? Absolutely. Absolutely, I did. Went to college, same thing. Drank in college, just like everybody else did. Thought I was normal. Thought I was just like everybody else. A little fast forward, got married when I was 33. I believe I was 33. Had two kids. Got divorced when my kids were 7 and 8. Raised my kids on my own. Dad is not in the picture, or was not in the picture after that. And I was always accused of being an alcoholic by my ex-husband. And I don't think that I drank alcoholically at that time. I know I would sometimes overdrink here and there, but I was not an everyday drinker, not even every weekend, nor was I when I became an alcoholic. There were many times that I probably overdrank, but for the most part, I was a mom that worked two jobs, three jobs at sometimes. I was a booster mom for softball for my daughter. My daughter played softball. My son was not athletic, but I was very involved in their lives because it was just me. So I did the best that I could with what I had. Went to softball games. Everybody would be tailgating. I would have a few drinks with everybody, but never overdid it. A lot of times I remember thinking, gosh, these parents drink a lot, and instead of looking at myself. So I was a typical mom that had, well, I shouldn't say typical. I was a mom that had 2 and 3 jobs. So I didn't have time to do a lot outside of my kids. And when I became an alcoholic, I would say, was when my kids were in high school. That's when I started to cross the line. I was not one that crossed the line very quickly. It was kind of a slow moving becoming an alcoholic. And not that it matters, but it you know, I became an alcoholic at some point. With that, when my kids went away to college, that's when I know for a fact that I truly, truly crossed the line. I started drinking at home alone. I would go out with friends for drinks. I would you know, have a few drinks, have a good time, and then go home and stop on my way home and get a 4-pack of wine and get home and drink that and then go back out and get another one. And it just all of a sudden became very evident that I was drinking alone at home. Still did not realize that I had an issue. Still did not realize that I was an alcoholic, nor did I even understand truly what an alcoholic was. In my head, an alcoholic was somebody that drank every single day, somebody that was just always drunk. And that was my perception growing up, or somebody that drank out of a paper bag, you know, not knowing that it could be me, not knowing that it could be my dad or my mom. And neither one of my parents drank. My dad started to drink later, way later in life, right around the same time I did. And it progressed with both of us. But growing up with my grandfather as an alcoholic, all I ever saw was my grandpa sitting there having a beer and enjoying it. And my other grandpa died pretty young, so I didn't see him a lot. But in my head, an alcoholic was just not me, not what I saw in myself in any way, shape, or form. But when I go back to my high school days and when I go back to my college days, did I drink alcoholically? Sure, I did. Not all the time, but many times I did. And so when I became closer to 50 is when I started to cross the line, as I say for myself. I started missing things. I started not showing up to family parties because I just didn't want to go, or I'd skip out early so that I could drink by myself at home. And it just got to the point where, because I was living alone, nobody knew. So I thought I was the only one who knew that I was drinking. I thought that I would go to work. I held 2-3 jobs at a time, and I would go to work, and I worked with kids, actually. And I always thought that I was putting on a good show, I guess. I didn't realize that I was even trying to put on a show. I thought I was just doing like what everybody else did. What basically pushed me over the level, I think, or over that line, was when my kids left for college. That's when I broke loose, I guess I should say. That's when I broke loose. That's when I started drinking to the point where I was blacking out and not remembering things. I would get up in the morning and I would see, you know, 2-4 packs of wine and be like, was somebody over here last night? Like, when did I drink that? Or who was here? And not realize, and not even know that they were blackouts that I was having. That's how ignorant I was to being an alcoholic or to having a drinking problem, not even necessarily thinking I was an alcoholic, just thinking I was just normal like everybody else. And I didn't realize it for a very long time. I started to miss family functions. I started to just make excuses of not going places because I didn't want to only have one drink. I wanted to have 3 or 4. And I knew once I did that, I might show, you know, a different side of me. And I didn't want that. I wanted to bury a lot of feelings that I had that I never faced. Now that I'm in a program and I can look back at it, it's a whole different way to live that I didn't know. I was just so ignorant and naive to it that I truly just didn't know. I didn't understand that I was drowning my problems, drowning my loneliness, drowning whatever was going on. I ran from everything. I didn't pay bills. At one point, my trunk was so filled with mail that I didn't open because I just was afraid of my own shadow. So what I started to do was I just started to drink, to hide it, to cover it up, to bury it, to not face things. And again, all this time, not knowing that I was an alcoholic, just thinking this was just what people do. There was a few times actually that I was in the hospital. One time it was, they had told me that my magnesium was so low, I had cramped up, and I went to the hospital and they, do you drink? No, just once in a while. I don't drink that much socially. Yeah. And that's just what I would tell people. I'm a social drinker. I had high blood pressure. I told my doctor, I'm a social drinker. Every time they asked me if I drank, no, I don't drink every day, because I didn't drink every day. But when I did, all bets were off. It would be 2-3 days at a time. So many, like I say, many times I had found myself in a hospital not realizing that it was because of alcohol. And nobody ever said that to me in the hospital either. Nobody ever said, oh, you have a drinking problem. You know, I've learned so much now when I look back at it and I go, wow. How did I not see all the signs for those 10 years that I drank badly? How did I not see it? And it was because I was just so blind to it and didn't face anything. I ran from all of my emotions. And I see that now. And again, like I say, I did not know that's what I was doing. And I just... I buried myself in a bottle. I hid liquor at home. I lived alone. My kids were gone to college and I drank at home alone, but yet I hid bottles under the covers in the bed. I hid them in clothes, in sweatshirts, in the closet. People would come over and we'd be having a beer sitting at the table. And I'd get up and go in my room to use the washroom. And I'd have a bottle of booze in the bathroom in the closet. And I would drink a bottle of wine in the closet while they were out in the living room. I mean, I just didn't know what I was doing. And I still didn't think I had a problem. I thought that was normal. Well, if it was normal, I would have had a second glass of wine or a second beer with my company. Instead, I was going in the closet and just not realizing how much alcohol was starting to take over my life. And it took over pretty good. You know, I got to the point where I was blacking out. I was not remembering things. I'd get up in the morning and I'd have a bump on my head or a bump on my arm or my leg or bruises. And I wouldn't remember where they came from. But still, all in that time, not thinking that I had a problem. So, you know, yes, when I was in high school and yes, when I was in college, I drank like everybody else. So I thought, but did I? Did I have a problem back then and not know it and just control it for so long? And when I was right around 50 is when I know I crossed the line completely. And again, not knowing that I did, but how I actually came into the rooms. I'll go into how I came into the rooms. My kids had asked me a couple times, Mom, do you think you have a drinking problem? And I'd say, no, you know, I don't get drunk every day. I don't drink every day. I don't even drink every weekend. And a few times they would ask, I'll go into what got me into the rooms. What made me come into the rooms was my son and my daughter, but probably more so my son. He had had a breakup with a girlfriend and he was home from college for a weekend we were going to a family party, and he was pretty distraught. And he had asked me, "Mom, can you please go? I don't want to go by myself. I don't want to go by myself." And I said, "Sure, I'll go. No problem." Well, I didn't show up because I was home drinking. And at that point, I couldn't get myself in the car to drive. He was coming from somewhere else, and I just didn't show up. And the next day, he said to me, "Mom, I think you have a drinking problem. I have a friend." He had a friend in the program whose mom was in the program, and said, "Can you please just call her? Will you please just call her? See what she has to say." He said, you know, "We're so afraid we're going to get a phone call that you're gone or you're in the hospital because you overdrank." And again, all this time, for all those few years that I was drinking so badly, not even realizing that my kids even knew that I was drinking. I thought I was hiding it from everybody. I was at home by myself, not hurting anybody, doing my own thing. And to see the look on his face of just, "Please, Mom, you're all we have. And we don't want to lose you." So fast forward into AA, I called my son's friend's mom and talked to her for quite a while on the phone. And again, all this time in my head going, "Am I really an alcoholic? I don't think so, but I'll go. If this is what my kids want me to do, I'll go." So met her at a meeting. And she met me there. She said, I'll be there at the door, so you're not walking in by yourself, because it's a pretty scary thing the first time." And I said, "Sure." Well, I went again in my head saying, "I'm not really an alcoholic." So I walk in the rooms. I was laughing, having a good time. And I sit down in the back of the room, and I happen to be off for the summer. So I heard him say, "You got to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. Everybody kind of told their story the first time I walked in the door. And I remember sitting there going, "These people are bad. That guy's been in jail. That guy's had, you know, 3 DUIs. This person's been in rehabs." And I compared myself out, even though one of the first 2 or 3 people said, "Don't compare yourself to somebody else." I did it anyway, because I didn't know any better. So I kept saying, "Well, I'm not that bad. I don't drink every day. These people drink every day," or they did drink every day. And I remember, again, not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but in my head, I had such a wall up that I was an alcoholic, I didn't believe it. So fast forward a little, I go the 90 days. And I went every day. And I sat in the back of the room. I never went early. I never stayed after. The minute the meeting was over, I left. They told me to get a sponsor. They read how it works every single day. And when I heard how it works, all I heard was, "Wah, wah, 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 wah. What are they even talking about?" I truly felt like I was Charlie Brown back in the day, listening to that, watching a Charlie Brown episode. And when the parents talked, you heard nothing. That's all that was going through my head that whole time I was in there, that 90 days. Sure, I felt better. I felt great. I thought I was on top of the world. You know, I'm not drinking. I'm doing fantastic. I just didn't understand. I got a sponsor. The lady that sat next to me every day, I picked her as a sponsor. I asked her if she would be my sponsor. She said, "Sure." A few times I would say, "When are we going to do the steps? I don't understand these steps. What is this?" And she goes, "Don't worry, we'll get to them. We'll get to them." Well, I happened to pick a sponsor that probably wasn't the best for me. Not that I can blame her for my going back out, because that's eventually what happens to me. I just kept going and kept listening, but not understanding any of it, and not even trying to understand. Again, saying, I am not like these people. So my daughter was getting married 6 months after I walked into the program the first time. And I walked in June, and she was getting married in December. And I said, I have to get through to December. I have to get through to, walk. I wanted to walk her down the aisle. That was my goal. If I stay sober and I don't drink for 6 months and I can get her down the aisle, I'll be okay. I know I can do this. And I did. I was doing it, but I wasn't living the program. I was just existing. I was just not drinking because the goal was to get to the marriage without drinking. And I had a goal in mind. Again, not trying to be disrespectful to the program at all, because I truly wasn't. I just didn't think I was an alcoholic. So I get the 6 months. I get 11 months. COVID hits. And I certainly am not blaming COVID by any means, but work stopped. Everything stopped. I was at home alone again. And one day I said, I think I could have a drink. And it was before Zooms came on. So now I can't go to any meetings. Zoom hadn't started up yet. And I was at home alone 24/7 because I was a little bit of a high risk for what my doctor told me, because my blood pressure was so high, not knowing that it was because of drinking, and that I have lung issues. So I had to be careful. So I pretty much tied myself to my house. People would drop off groceries at my house. I wouldn't go to a store. I didn't do anything. 11 months into the program, I decide one day I'm going to drive across the street and I'm going to get I'm going to get a glass of wine. I'm going to have a glass of wine. I can do this. I've gone 11 months. I can do this. So I go across, I get a 4-pack of wine. And that's when all hell broke loose. I literally do not remember the next 6 days. The first 3 days I drank, which I don't even remember. To this day, I do not remember drinking for 3 days straight. I ended up in a detox. I was supposed to show up at a volunteer event at my school to pass out care packages, basically for the kids to go home that weren't in school anymore, and to be able, parents were going to do a drive-through. And I always showed up. I always went to everything, and I didn't show up for this. So 3 of my friends that I worked with came and banged down my door. I don't remember it at all. I don't remember them coming. I don't remember them banging down the door. I don't remember going in an ambulance. I don't remember any of it. So I drank for 3 days. And the only reason I know that is because I know when I started, and then I know when I went into the hospital because of what happened after. Then I spent 3 days in the emergency room detoxing, which I didn't even know what that was. And then I spent 3 days on a psych ward. And when I came out, my friends picked me up and said, you're going to a rehab. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, I've been in AA for 11 months. And they're like, you have not. You're a liar. And I said, no, I have. I haven't drank in 11 months. And they're like, there's no way. And I said, trust me, I have. I told other friends. I didn't tell everybody. But I told a few of my friends that I was in a program. And anyway, they convinced me, along with my kids, to go to a rehab. Now, mind you, I still don't remember those 6 days because the 3 days of drinking, the 3 days in the detox, and then another 3 days on the psych ward, which I sort of remember that, not 100%. I remember being very scared and then going to a rehab. So I finally agreed to go. I told my kids, yep, I obviously need more than what I thought I did, to a rehab. And in the rehab, 11 days into the rehab, my roommate that had just come into the rehab came in with COVID. And I started having panic attacks because that was like the third or fourth person that came into the rehab facility with COVID. And I was scared. I was at the beginning when people were dying like crazy, and I was scared to death that I was going to die of COVID, not die of alcoholism. And so I checked myself out 11 days in, and I told myself, that's it. I'm going to a program. I'm going to learn. I'm going to understand this. I don't ever want to go back to that. And so I put myself into a Zoom, and still a lot of things were closed up. And I truly was listening and wanted to do the program. I started doing the program. I found a sponsor through a friend and started working the steps. And that was in June. I believe it was June of 2020. And I started to do the steps. And I still didn't 100% get it. I still, even after going into a hospital, being in a detox, being in a rehab, being on a psych ward, and going so overboard, I still said to myself, I don't know. So one night I said, I think I can have a glass of wine, just like I did, 3 months prior to that, whatever it was in May that happened. And I had a glass of wine and I said, what are you doing? Like, I literally stopped myself and said, you came so far, even though I wasn't working the program like I know I should have now that I know. And I stopped myself and I went right back into Zoom. I had to come back in there, my tail between my legs, and tell everybody. And that's a hard thing to do when you go back out and you have to come back into a room and tell all the people that you've gotten to know that, I went back out there. But I had learned enough. And that's what I always say to people when they go back out. If you've learned enough and you come back, that's what's important. As long as you got enough the first time or the second time or the third, whatever it takes, you learned enough to know to come back, but you don't want to go back to that bad way again. So I truly dug my heels in and said, I'm going to get this program. I'm going to understand it. That was September 26, 2020. And about a week or so after being in there, and now I had been in the Zoom for a few months prior to that, one of the guys in the program, we were talking about step one. Step one says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Well, I already knew my life was unmanageable because I wasn't paying bills. I wasn't opening mail. I was staying away from people. I was hiding. All those things made sense to me. But I didn't believe that I was an alcoholic. So a guy said, as he was sharing a little bit, he said, you can hear we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. He goes, but you have to believe it. You have to believe it. And for some reason, when he said that, that stuck out to me because I didn't believe it the first time around, even almost that second time around. And I said, you know what? That's what I needed to hear. And to this day, I still talk to that guy, and he'll say to me when I tell him, you're the one who changed my program. He said, no, I didn't. He goes, a lot of people say that. You just were ready to hear it. And I was. I truly believe that I was ready to hear it that day. Now, that's been almost 3 years ago. Well, this September, it'll be 3 years. And now I work the program. I live my life around the program. I know that I'm an alcoholic. I believe that I'm an alcoholic. And I work the steps, and I've done the steps, had sponsees. I have a wonderful sponsor. My first sponsor, I did not use after I went back out. My second sponsor got me through the steps 100%. And then she needed to go a different path. And I now have a third sponsor who I absolutely love. Sponsorship for me with my sponsor, I mean, I look at it and go, man, it's so cool to be able to be so honest with somebody and know they're not going to judge you. And you could tell them anything and it's going to be okay. Today, I live my life 100% on the program. Since I've been in AA and done the program, I've moved. I've up and moved 100% away from my family and friends to take care of my mom, who had Alzheimer's. 3 months after I moved, my mom passed away. I've had a couple different surgeries. So my life has not been a bowl of cherries since I've come into AA, but I have 100% been able to handle everything that has happened without picking up a drink. And it's because I work the program. I start every day with, and I saw this online, so I'm not taking credit for it because I know it's out there. Good morning, Lynn. This is God. I will be handling all your problems today. So sit back, relax, and have a good day. Instead of me asking or talking to God, I start my day with God talking to me. I end my day with saying, thank you for keeping me sober today. I end my day with, not today, Satan. Because I don't ever want to go back to that life. And when I look back at it now, there are so many times that I should have realized that I was an alcoholic, but obviously I wasn't ready. That wasn't my journey. Now, since I've been down in, I moved down to Florida. And since I've been here, I found an in-person meeting that I go to every single day at 7 a.m. I don't miss it unless I'm out of town. I picked my job around that meeting. I work in a school again, and some of the schools started at 8 o'clock, and I said, no, I can't start anywhere till 8:30. And I'll find a school that is open at 8 that doesn't start till 8:30 or 9. And I did, because that's what's important to me now. My sobriety is more important than anything. And that's what it had to come to. It had to come to me truly believing that I was an alcoholic and wanting a better way of life. And I have a wonderful life now. I mean, stuff still happens. I still have things that don't go my way. I have a beautiful granddaughter with another one on the way. And I would not, I know I would not be in their life if I was still drinking. I live by myself still, and I'm probably more alone physically than I've ever been in my life. And I don't feel it at all. And it's all because of the program. It's all because I stepped into AA this last time, 100%. Giving up my will and saying, I can't do this. Because I tried many times on my own to stop drinking, many times saying, I'm just not going to drink anymore. You know, waking up with a hangover or waking up shaky and go, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? And again, all those times and all those years, not realizing that I was probably an alcoholic and just didn't know it because I was naive to it. So I guess what I'm trying to say is to anybody that's out there, that if you're not sure, give the program a chance. And all I know is I have such a better life, and I've found and met wonderful people that I never would have met. And my life is so full that it's amazing. It's amazing. But yes, still not wonderful things are going to happen to me, but now I know how to handle it. I know how to handle problems. I can face problems head on, where I ran from everything for years. And now, because of the program, because of AA, I firmly believe, and because I have a higher power, which that's another thing I'll say, you know, growing up in a Christian home, and I was actually a youth leader for many years, I look at God in a whole different way than I ever did before. My mom always told us, you know, Jesus will forgive you no matter what you've done. He will always be there. He was a very forgiving God in our lives. And all I keep saying is, if God can forgive me for my wrongs and the things that I did while I was drinking, I can forgive myself. And that's how I had to move forward. And I will say, I have a whole different higher power spiritual life than I've ever had. And it's because of AA. You know, I say, you know, drinking brought me to AA, but AA brought me a better life with my higher power, who was Jesus. So I hope that makes sense. I hope I've touched somebody that maybe wasn't sure or isn't sure if they're an alcoholic. And, you know, give it a chance. Give this program a chance. Give yourself a chance. I came in the first times for my kids, but the second time, or I should say the third time, I came in for me. And that's why it's different. That's why it works. And because I truly believe that I'm an alcoholic. So thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for your story. I am so sorry for the loss of your mother. It sounds like that was really recent. So my condolences. Yeah,
it was, but it was the best. It was the best.
Alzheimer's is really tough.
A terrible disease.
I'm glad you were sober there with her at the end.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know if we can, if you want to put this in or not, but you know, when my mom, my parents lived where I lived with my parents, they lived with me. We all lived together when my mom started to get dementia. And when I got divorced, kind of, we lived three doors down from each other. So we moved in together. They were in Florida 90% of the year. So I moved down here to help take care of her. My mom did not know me as a drinker because she had Alzheimer's when I started. The day she died, I had been in California babysitting my grandbaby for 3 months. And my dad called to say, I'm going to put mom on hospice. And I said, I'm on my way. And he goes, Lynn, you're in California. You can't come. And I said, no, I'm on my way. And I went that next day and sat with my mom, and my mom did not know my story. My mom did not know that sorry, it's hard.
Take your time.
My mom did not know that I was an alcoholic. I know my mom knew that sometimes I drank, and she didn't like it because my mom didn't drink. She knew I drank sometimes too much, but she did not know me as the alcoholic Lynn. And I had the opportunity to share that with her, because it was just her and I there for a few hours. And I told her my whole story, and I told her how well I was doing. And then I was going to live a better life, and I was not going to go back. So that was like, that was really cool. That was my first year into sobriety. My mom has not even been gone for 2 years. So that was my first year in. It was a pretty cool thing to be able to share that with her and just say, "Mom, I'm going to be okay. I am going to be okay because I figured it out." So it's truly a blessing for me that I have found this program. It's just amazing the things that I've been able to do since I've come into the program. Moved down to Florida, basically no mortgage. And, you know, my dad is still here. My dad is an active alcoholic, unfortunately, but we keep hoping that he's going to figure it out. And, you know, he's 91, but he didn't start drinking until he was probably about 80 maybe. When my mom got sick, my dad started drinking pretty badly. And that's kind of when I did. Not because of my mom, just because I think I was frustrated with my dad all the time. And so I would just go in another room and be like, "Gosh, he's such an idiot." And then I'd do the same thing, but to myself. But yeah, just, I am so thankful that I figured it out, that I, you know, it took me a while. And, you know, all those years that maybe I was an alcoholic when I was younger and didn't know it, but never truly crossed that line until I was right around 50. And that's when I know I crossed the line, even though I didn't believe it. And even though I didn't realize it, but now that I'm in the program and I look back and I know what I know because of what I've learned, I'm just like, wow, if somebody that's half my age or in their teens, like I work with junior high kids, and man, I'm seeing kids already going down that slippery slope road and just go, "Man, guys, you don't know what you're doing to yourselves." If I could help one kid, if I could help one person, then I've done my job. That's the goal, is to try to help somebody else and help, hopefully somebody learns from your story.
Well, you did 90 meetings in 90 days. You did 11 days in rehab. You had time under your belt. So I'm brought us up to about June 2020 now. And you said you still didn't get it. You still basically didn't know if you were an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Is there anything that any human force could have done or said or put you through to help you connect the dots?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think that was just my journey. My journey was when I finally figured it out myself. I had to figure it out myself. And I still stand by that man saying, "You have to believe it." And I've always been a firm believer in believing in something. And when you believe in something, you can stand behind it. I feel very strongly that when I believe in a cause, or I believe in doing something that's right, I can stand strong and do it. And I think maybe my stubbornness, maybe my naiveness, I don't know. Hearing I had to believe it, and just, I don't know what struck me that day, but something literally, and I, you know, they always say the act of God, whatever, it doesn't matter. Something stuck and said, "You are an alcoholic. You have to believe it before you can actually make this work for yourself." And that's what changed it. That's changed my whole program. And like I say, when this guy said that, and I just saw him not too long ago, I said, "You know, you're the one." And he goes, "No, I'm not, because you've heard that many times before." He goes, "You just weren't ready to listen to it yet." That's part of your journey, Lynn. That's part of your journey of how you get to where you are. And maybe it's that is somebody else out there is the same way you are, where they didn't think that they were an alcoholic. And they kept, even though those things happened. And now I look back and go, if I stepped out now, I can't imagine the bad that could happen. Because look what happened the first time I stepped out. They always say it gets worse every time. You start right where you left off. Man, did I ever. So what's going to be next? You know, I don't want to take that chance. And besides, I love life right now. Even though I'm far away from people, I've got more friends now down here in the short time that I've been here. I love it. I absolutely love it. I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. I do my little daily routine. And then I'm off to a meeting. And then I'm off to 1,000 junior high kids, 12, 13, and 14-year-olds in a life of absolute chaos. Absolute chaos. And it's a scary thing. It's a scary world right now. And if I didn't have this program, I'm not kidding. You could throw this in there too. I'm not kidding. Almost every single day, somebody at work says to me, gosh, Lynn, you deserve to go home and have a drink. You deserve to go to the bar tonight, or you deserve to have a glass of wine tonight. Almost every day. Because it's truly crazy in my work environment. It's just, and I just look at them and just go, no, thanks. And I think to myself, not today, Satan, not today. I say it every day. Not today, Satan. Not happening. I don't ever want to go back there. The thought of losing my kids, the thought of losing my granddaughter, and now my grandson on the way. Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine not being able to get on FaceTime with her 3-4 times a week. And because my kids might say, no, Mom, we're done. You're not going to be around our kids like that. I'm not risking that, even though I have to do everything for myself. I'm doing it for myself, but that's a huge plus. That's a huge factor in how I want to live my life. I want to be part of that life. I want to be part of my kids' life. I want to be part of any life that I'm doing right now. And I'm loving it. I'm 62 years old almost, and life is wonderful.
You know, now life is wonderful when you were out there drinking and escaping loneliness, problems, fear, a trunk full of bills and paperwork and just ending up in the hospital and not knowing why. I imagine you thought that's what life was. Now you are experiencing a whole different life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All those years that I thought I was living a wonderful life. You know, I thought I had a great marriage. I thought I had a wonderful life. The difference now, I'm not saying I didn't. I didn't have a bad life, but the freedom, there's the word I want. The freedom that I have now and the peace that I have in my life now is amazing compared to what I've ever had before. I live in a park where everybody has their names on the outside of their house. It's a 55 and older community, and everybody has their name on the outside of their house. And I live alone, and I did not want my name out there because, number one, I don't want people knowing my name. And number two, I don't want people knowing that I live alone. So I'm Swedish, and I decided to call my house the Serenity Cottage. Instead of putting Serenity Cottage on my sign, I put Lung Stuga, which means Serenity Cottage. And I love that I live a peaceful life now. Even though I walk into chaos every single day at work, inside my heart, inside my life is complete peace. Complete peace. Even though things go wrong, like I say, I've had, I think, 4 surgeries. I was told I was legally blind in one eye and didn't know it. This is the silliness that I had in life before I came into AA. I didn't know I was legally blind in my right eye. I just figured I had bad vision. Well, because I was drinking, I didn't even notice it. So I've had surgeries. Now I can see fantastic. Just all those things that I had gallbladder surgery, had eye surgery, had skin cancer removed. My mom died. I moved away to another state. All those things happened after I got sober and I didn't have to pick up a drink once. And I am at total peace in life. Total peace. I go into work, like I say, total chaos. But when I step out those doors, the peace I have is wonderful. The friends that I found here, wonderful. I had 16 people over for Super Bowl. Not one person drank. And I don't think I've laughed that much in a long time. I laugh from my gut, from my belly now, where before it was a whole different, just a different world. And I never knew that there was another life that was so much better. I've gotten a second chance in life, and I feel very blessed that I've got a second chance in life to do it right this time, to do it right.
That's lovely. That's really lovely. It reminds me of just, you know, I'm the newcomer. And when I was new, I saw the joy and you guys all talked about the joy and peace and serenity. And I thought, yeah, that's good for you, but not for me. I'm different. Yeah, that's good for you, but it won't work for me. And I like what you said is just give the program a chance. Just give the program a chance. And there's not, we can't explain, do this, this, and this, and then this will happen. It's experiential. You got to get out there and give the program a shot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I thought I was. I thought I was giving it a chance. I thought I was doing it right. I felt good. I felt good those 6 months before my daughter got married. Like, oh my gosh, I feel fantastic. Well, of course you feel fantastic. You're not drinking. Your blood pressure's going down. You're not having cramps like you used to have. All those things were, you're not waking up sick to your stomach all the time. You're eating better. All those things made me feel better, but not internally. Not internally. I wasn't getting it. The inside piece, I can't, like you just said, you can't explain it. And I say this to people all the time that are new. If I could take you and pluck you out from 2 years or year and a half, 2 years from now, and you can look back and go, dang, why didn't I do that right off the bat? A lot of people are hesitant. A lot of people are hesitant. And I was too in trying to grasp it. But knowing the peace that I have now, if I could have done that the first time around, man, I wish I could have. But I didn't. And that's my journey. And that's my story. And I work it on a daily basis. I try very hard. I fall. I'm not perfect at it. But I try very hard to live a good life, to do the right things. Even in my job, when I get told to F off right to my face, I stand and I don't get angry. I stand there and I try to understand maybe where's this kid coming from and or whatever. And instead of getting angry, I smile. I smile at him and say, what can I help you with today? And I hear it and I see it in school that I work in that, you know, maybe I am making a little bit of difference because I'm bringing peace in there, but it's all coming from inside. I don't know how to explain it other than until you get it. And until somebody understands the program, the peace that I have inside, I wish for everybody. I truly do, because it's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing feeling. But again, life is not perfect. But boy, can I handle things better? I can face things. I can address things and I can figure it out and not pick up a drink over it. I don't even think about drinking anymore. The thought doesn't even enter my mind. The obsession is gone. It's just gone, which is so hard to explain, especially for somebody new, that someday that you'll get there. Someday you'll get there. And that's what's so cool about this program, because it does, if you work it, like it says, but you have to do it. You have to do the work. And it's not hard. It's just, you got to do it.
Yeah. Is there anything that you left out or that you would like to share?
The main thing I like to try to get across is there's hope. There's so much hope for anybody that comes in this door, no matter how far in you are, no matter how short you are in there. Give the program a chance. Give yourself a chance to find peace and happiness inside. Pain ends. There's your hope.
For more information, read the first 164 pages of The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous or visit keepcomingback.net.